agenda other than just wanting to get together with everybody here and certainly begin to form relationships with each and every one of you. And so I certainly appreciate you coming out to spend some time with us. I thought that, I would share just really what I'm focused on right now and probably will be for the next, 90 days. Currently really focused on personnel. And so I've begun meeting with each staff member, and we have over 200 staff members, and sent out certainly a kind of an interview form, but really want to get to know the people that make up the Mizzou Athletics family. And I think with 200, I'll probably finish in about a year. Really hope to finish that sometime by midsummer. So far we started on Wednesday. I'm almost 100 hours into this job, and I think of those 100, I've slept for maybe 10 of them. But it has been a great experience just beginning to get to know staff. And so we'll continue to do that. The number two position, Doug Gillen's position, and Doug did such a great job in that position, and so have other previous folks. And so that's a really key hire for us. And I talked about maybe my initial press conference about Hunter Yurecek. Well, the great news is that Hunter became the director of athletics at the University of Houston today, and certainly wish him well. But I'll begin that process. I'll actually have somebody in this weekend to begin to vet that position, and I'm not sure it will be exactly structured the way that that maybe Doug's will. I think the initial focus will certainly be on our external units, meaning fundraising, communications, marketing, promotions, licensing, merchandise, ticket sales, ticket operations. I really feel like we've got to do a better job in terms of the ticket sales piece. Right now, I think we're a little bit of an inbound company, meaning that we do a really good job of taking phone calls, but we've got to get aggressive. We've got to have people on the phone and getting people excited and getting people to come out to not just football games, but all of our venues, and really kind of implement a pro model. Professional Athletics does a great job in terms of selling tickets, and so we'll certainly begin to look at that. As I meet with each staff member, we hire the number two position, and then we'll begin to look at really organizational structure. Just in terms of personnel, what units report to certain people, and I've been transparent with our staff. There's going to be changes, and I certainly need them to be open to those changes. This is never going to be about one individual and their title and what's best for them. Absolutely, we want to accommodate people as best we can, but this is always going to be about what's best for Mizzou Athletics, what gives us the best chance to win. Probably right around toward the end of March, I sent out kind of a unit audit to each of our directors of our different units. And when I talk about units, I'm talking about fundraising or marketing and promotions or the business office or compliance, and really asked some in-depth questions so I could get a handle on what was going on, what were some of the hot buttons, what were some of the short-term issues, long-term issues, key personnel, all of those. So those have really helped me in terms of hitting the ground running. So personnel is certainly in organizational structure something that we'll really try to tackle immediately. Next will be facilities. We have the softball stadium, underway in terms of design, and Tim Hickman and Brian Maggard are doing a great job with that. But there's been a lot of discussion about football and end zone facility and what that becomes. We need to really begin to focus on that. But not just that, other facilities, and really put together a five-year plan for facilities, and how do we continue to grow our facilities and to ensure that our coaches, our student athletes have best possible facilities so that they can be successful. And again, I've said this before, I think we're in the best conference in the country. The competition is at an extremely high level, and we've got to continue to make sure that we give our student athletes and coaches the best chance to do that. So those will be certainly be two of the personnel, and again the facilities piece, and then finally I break it down into relationships. Really have to begin to develop really fruitful and positive relationships, and certainly here on campus with other vice presidents, deans, etc. Those are really, really important to me. You don't build and have a successful athletics program by yourself. We need the help of a lot of people, and it starts with those folks on campus, but beginning to engage them and get to know them and make sure that they understand our vision and that we're completely in line in terms of the university's mission. So that will be important. Tim Stedman has done a great job of beginning to set up appointments with our top 25 donors, and so those have begun to take place. And it goes way beyond just our top 25 donors. I mean, those people are really, obviously, really, really special to us. But so is everybody. It doesn't matter whether or not you give $100,000, $1 million, or $10. We need everybody, and so we'll also. And I'll also try to expand that and get out into the different communities. We had an unbelievable event, I think it was Tuesday night, was it not, in Sedalia, home of Kim Anderson, and did that at the country club there. It was packed. People were excited. And that was a great first caravan for me to attend, and certainly really enjoyed that. But we'll do a lot more of those, and really getting out to the state of Missouri, and then finally, it's just the day-to-day operations that I'm still probably not candidly 100% engaged in, just trying to do some of these other things. But I've got a great team that I work with every day, and they're certainly managing a lot of the day-to-day. So I'll open it up for questions.
If you would please just identify yourself and your outlet again to help Mac with the learning curve.
Mac, Gabe DeArmond with PowerMizzou.com. Can you take us through the last, 6 weeks and how you split kind of what you've done at Houston? And I know you've met with a lot of coaches and what you've been doing up here.
Well, it's been a lot of Red Bull, and really, I was still the vice president for athletics at the University of Houston, and so really I tried to focus, most of my time from 8 to 5, which I probably cheated Houston out on some hours, but really tried to focus my time there and making sure that we closed up shop the right way. There were certainly some specific items that I wanted to complete before I left, but then really after hours, beginning to work on Mizzou athletics items, whether it was returning emails, whether it was reviewing audit reports, candidly, whether it was reviewing the term sheet for Coach Pinkel's contract. So I was involved in a lot of different items. Certainly would have conversations with a variety of staff members here. So I was, I was fairly engaged, and it was probably, again, a feeling I didn't really like much, because I didn't feel like I could be completely 100% focused on Mizzou athletics. So it's great to be here, I'm ready to get going and ready to get rolling and get this thing charged up and start doing some things.
Mac, how much? Sorry, Todd Palmer.
Todd, how are you?
Good. How are you? How much were you in the loop on, like, the Pinkel contract extension, things like that? And we're obviously happy for Hunter to get that job, but were you kind of hoping that there might be an opportunity to bring him here too?
Yeah, you know, I had a moment there where I wasn't really happy, and I kind of lost perspective, and supposed to be happy for a dear friend, and I wasn't, but then quickly said, you know what, things happen for a reason, and that's an attractive position. We're going to hire somebody there that is very, very good, and so I'm not worried about that. Maybe take us a little bit more time now, but I think certainly the individual that we'll begin to meet with this week, and I think is of high character, great quality. So we'll do that. And then I think the second part of your question was Coach Pinkel's contract. First, I want to say thank you to President Wolf and Chancellor Aloftin and Mike Alden. They did a great job, and that negotiation in terms of the terms. I guess the elements of the contract happened before or were happening right as I was introduced as the director of athletics. So I had nothing to do in terms of what the actual terms, but absolutely in the loop in terms of what they were, was asked, you know, how I felt about them, whether or not I supported them, and Mike did a great job of sharing that with me, and as we moved forward through that process.
Mark Seelig from the Columbia, Missouri. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. After the whole catching up process, I'm sure that's going to take some time to get acclimated here. How does your daily calendar kind of change from what you were doing at Houston? Is this a more demanding job? Is it going to demand more of you?
You know, I don't know that it's more demanding. I like to work. I don't like idle time. I didn't have idle time at Houston. I'm certainly not going to have idle time here at the University of Missouri. You know, there's going to need to be a balance, and I can't answer that yet in terms of how much time do I spend in the office in terms of getting the team organized in a fashion that I think makes us or gives us the best chance to be successful versus being out and developing relationships and raising money and doing all of those things. And I'm a very detailed person. I like to know what's going on. I don't think I'm a micromanager. I think the people that have worked for me will tell you that I'm not. And if I have to be, then that's probably not good news for that person. So we'll try to find that right balance as I move forward. But there'll be a lot of both, just internal and external.
Chris Gervino.
Chris, how are you?
UMU TV, doing well, sir. Thanks.
Good.
Quick question, and then obviously we know your resume, been at UTEP and then AD at Akron and Houston, but talk about yourself for just a minute, as humble as you might be. What exactly does Mac Rhodes bring to Mizzou athletics, specifically you as opposed to others?
Well, I don't know in terms of as opposed to others, because I'm never going to compare myself to somebody else. But, well, you know, I think I don't know if it separates me. I can talk about maybe some of the qualities, which I'm not very comfortable doing. But, you know, I do think, you know, high energy. We talk about, you know, patience. I have patience for some things. I'm not patient for others. Integrity. I think one of my strengths is developing relationships. Genuinely, I enjoy people. I think the X's and O's of an athletic department and how it should be structured. I really believe in, you know, you have your external units, you have your internal units, you have your student athlete well-being units. Okay. I think the love for our student athletes is a strength of mine. I will tell you, you know, maybe the only thing, the one thing that I really haven't enjoyed so far to date is that, you know, I'm in this beautiful arena, great office, gorgeous, but our student athletes aren't around, and so I'm going to have to, you know, be intentional, and at some point in time, you know, sneak in a satellite office over at the MATC so I can see our student athletes. That's really, really important to me. That I see them and I know them and they understand that they have a director of athletics and a team that really, really is behind them. Not that previous administration wasn't, because they did a great job with that as well. But so I think those are some of the things, Chris. Okay, my ability to maybe raise money and some of the external areas as well.
David Morrison, Columbia Daily Tribune. For the deputy AD spot, ideally, would you be looking for somebody who you've worked with in the past, or would you be open to taking recommendations on people, or just kind of what's your profile for that?
Both, you know, both. I mean, true story, I didn't know Hunter Yurachek when I hired him. He was one of three, and I knew the two other people and very well. And somebody, you know, a mutual friend called and said, look, think you'd really like this guy. So I think it's both. Preferably, I think you'd always like to hire somebody that you know. I think most important is going to be fit. There's a lot of people out there that have got great capabilities, but what's their fit? Okay, it's like building a basketball team. You have to have great chemistry, and we have to have great chemistry amongst our staff, and so that will really, really be important moving forward. So, I certainly like the first person, and hey, if I like, and you know, to be candid again, if I really, really like this first person, I may not go further than that. We'll see. So, some of it is certainly a gut feel as well.
Matt, George Young with KFRU.
Yes.
When you were going through the interview process and exploring Missouri, were there one or two things that you kind of mentally went through and said, I've got to address this right away? Once, after you get done, you know, hiring and meeting people, whether it's a program or a compliance issue or something along that line?
I don't know that there was any really particularly one thing. I mean, you know, look, I've watched Missouri in terms of, you know, sports programs. I knew that basketball, men's basketball, didn't have a good year, okay? I also knew that Kim Anderson is a heck of a person and a heck of a basketball coach. So thoughts begin to formulate, all right, how do I go in there and help Kim? Not that he needs my help, but how can I go in there and be supportive? Because he's extremely capable. But how do we make sure that, you know, that what he inherited, we can take that up to a level that certainly Kim expects, I expect, and our fans expect. So that was maybe one. And I think maybe the facility piece too, because there was some talk about end zone facility and just getting a better handle on that. So those would probably be the two.
Hey, Matt. Marcus Wilkins, Mizzou Alumni Magazine.
Thank you for the article.
Oh, you're welcome.
Appreciate that.
Thank you. How much studying up have you done on the history of athletics here at Mizzou and the legacy of this athletic?
Probably some. Not as much as what I need to do. Yeah, 10 times now. but certainly I have. You know, going into the interview process, you try to learn as much as you can about everything, or at least I do. And it wasn't just limited to the athletics program. It was certainly about the university itself. It was about Dr. Lofton. Who he was as a leader and a chancellor and just the academic reputation of this institution and what a great institution in terms of its research and being a land grant university for the state of Missouri and so all of those things are read up on and as time comes too, I'll become more familiar with them. I've mentioned this before, when I get up in front of and talk to people, I don't want to just talk about athletics. That's certainly important, but that's just a very small piece of this university. And this is an unbelievable university, and everybody here should be really, really proud of it, and proud to wear the logo on their chest.
Matt, Connor Handel here.
Yes.
KCOU Radio. You mentioned increasing attendance for athletic events. Obviously, the basketball program struggled last year, so did the student attendance. How do you plan on attacking increasing that attendance?
win games. I mean, you know, that's part of it. You've got to win, and people, you know, that's just you know, human nature. People want to be associated with a winning program. They do. I mean, it's, you know, want to be associated with the next best thing or next great thing, and so we've got to win games, and that will happen. Okay, but we also have to get out and engage students and make it fun for them to come. Get out to do the different student organizations, develop those relationships. You know, who are the key people? Work with Student Government Association, and we'll work hard at doing that in terms of getting out and getting to know them and getting them engaged. Again, we cannot wait for people to come to us. We've got to get out to people, and we'll work. Won't say that we'll be perfect at it, but I promise you this, we'll work really, really hard at it.
Matt, a couple weeks ago, Austin with the ABC 17 Sports. When we last talked to Mike Alton, he said he'd been in communication with you throughout these last few weeks or so. In your conversations with him, what have you kind of taken away? What was kind of the big takeaway from your chats with Mike Alton as he leaves?
That I have big shoes to fill? No, that... You know, Mike's a professional, and he's really made the transition go well for me. And again, I think there were some things that Mike, you know, wrapped up and worked hard to do that. Coach Pinkel's contract, one of those. And then certainly we talked about maybe, you know, some staffing areas and some things that, you know, he was thinking about for the future and just wanted to share those with me. So, those are probably the items we talked about most.
Bye, Hank Gregorian from Kansas City Star. Nice to meet you.
Thank you for being here.
Yeah, my pleasure. Just curious about Monday morning, what it was like to just get in the office and just take a look around, sort of your first thoughts, what time you got there, and as kind of an extension of that, how do you go about putting together this first 3-month plan, first year plan? I can't imagine how complicated that is to know how you're going to come out and attack.
Well, the first part of your question, you know, I felt like I was going, it was the first day of school, really. I mean, my wife, Amy, made the trip. She wanted to see the first couple days, and she actually took a picture of me as I'm leaving the town home at 6 a.m. and texted it to my daughter. So it really did feel like the first day of school. But it was exciting. I mean, I did, you know, as you can imagine, I didn't get much sleep, just ready to go. It felt like I've had this bottled up energy and really couldn't, you know, commit 100% to Mizzou athletics. And finally, the time came. And, you know, because I'd been and made maybe, you know, was here for the press conference and then I came back for maybe 3 days, I already knew some of the staff, and so that was great to know some of the executive team, and then Sandy Matthew, you know, who is my administrative professional, who, truth be told, is really my boss. I'm not her boss, but so those things were all part of the process. It was exciting. It was, and the first time you have to figure out to format your computer, which you never thought about for 5 years, and Microsoft Outlook didn't look like the way I wanted it to look, and all right, now how in the heck do I change this? And I'm calling Sandy, can you come in here? And so Sandy probably made 50 trips into my office the first 2 hours from about 8 to 10. So but that was part of it. And then, you know, how do I tack these first, you know, again, it's just, you know, one day at a time, meeting with a variety of people, beginning to formulate my thoughts, meeting with executive staff, what do you think about this in terms of responsibilities and how do we organize this? And we'll get some different people engaged in terms of the facility plan. But there's a plan for every day.
How did you form that, though? I mean, you must have...
Well, I put,
that.
Well, you know, I have just through the years developed my first 90-day plan, and you know, you tweak it for each institution, and so that's kind of my guide. But you know, you'll tweak that as I go too. You know, if I get bored with something, I'm gonna, you know, maybe go on to something else and come back to that. So, but I use that as kind of my framework and outline.
Max Aviator with the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Just kind of back to basketball. What kind of sense have you gotten of the situation that Kim inherited was a year ago today, really? And how important is knowing that, having full knowledge of what that was like a year ago?
Well, you know, again, I never want to point a finger at anybody, but I think, you know, we all realize that what Kim inherited wasn't a perfect situation, and it just wasn't. And I think we all can, you know, call it what it is, and that's exactly what it was. And so, you know, why is number one, and then really two is how do you attack that? How do you fix it? Okay, and what can I do to be helpful? You know, Kim is, again, I mentioned this earlier, Kim is more than capable of getting this corrected. But I want him to know that I'm going to be in the trenches with him, sleeves rolled up, and we're going to do this. We're going to do this together. Okay, and so now, you know, you talk about all the different areas. Okay, you talk about staffing. You talk about, you know, the recruiting piece and skill development and the scheduling piece and team chemistry and how do we bring that all together? And again, I keep saying this, but I've said this before. I'm not interested in I'm not interested in building a winning team, but I'm very interested in building a winning program. Okay, we need to really work hard these next couple years of building that foundation, okay, so that when Kim wins, we win now for a long time, and I think we can do that. There's no reason why we can't do that here. It's been done before. It absolutely has been done before, and we're going to do it, and we're going to do it again.
So, what's a reasonable timetable then for him to get that program established?
I appreciate the question, but I don't know that I can answer that right now. I don't. I can tell you it's not 10 years, okay? but we'll begin to think about that and have some conversation. So,
Matt, you're in Hellwedge with KBIA. You've talked earlier about fundraising. In what you've been able to learn so far, whether it was talking to the donors, the big guys, or the $10 or $20 a month people, and talking about the economy of the state, where the program is, how much growth potential do you feel like there is for fundraising for the program?
You know, going again after, you know, what is it, 96 hours into it, I think there is some growth and some potential, and at least that's what I'm hoping. But I do. I think, you know, again, it's about that vision in terms of next level. And here are the things that we need to do to really, really continue to be competitive and even maybe compete at a higher level. And I think there's current people that are have been really, really generous. And we need to ask them to be more generous. Okay. And then there's people that we don't know yet that we need to meet and get engaged and get them excited about our student athletes, about our coaches, about our athletics program, about our university, and then hopefully they'll invest in the program. And I'm, you know, again, I'm confident we can do that. I really am. This is again a great university, a great athletics program, and I think that we can get some people excited about it. There's already a lot of people excited about it.
Mac, I understand it's week one, but you've got a baseball coach whose season's going to be done in the next month who doesn't have a contract. Where do you stand on that situation and meetings with Tim Jameson?
You know, I think I'm meeting with Tim maybe the second week of May, and we'll sit down and again, as you can imagine, I'm not going to disclose here at this point in time, but we'll sit down and talk about the program and him as it relates in terms of his future. you know, it is. It's a unique situation that you have a coach that his last year of the contract, you know, they've played really, really well up to this point in time, and we'll have that conversation, and Tim Hickman will be involved with that, since he's the sports program administrator, and he's got some historical, maybe better perspective historically. No decision has been reached or formulated in my mind. I think I will know better once Coach and I are able to sit down and visit.
Matt, Joe Wall-Jasper from the Columbia Tribune. A few weeks ago, Chancellor Lofton mentioned his desire to add men's tennis.
I know he did.
Your thoughts on that?
Well, let me first say that I love men's tennis, okay, but it's probably not a priority of mine yet, okay, and Dr. Lofton and I have since had that conversation. You know, we have 20 sports programs right now, excuse me, and I want to make sure that we are taking care of those 20 sports programs, first and foremost, that every one of those student athletes, every one of those coaches, okay, assistant coaches, has a real opportunity to win and be successful. Okay, once I feel comfortable with that, okay, then we'll start to think about, do we add any other sports? Okay, we're never going to add a sport just to add a sport. Okay, if we add a sport, it's so that we can compete right away. University of Houston, we added women's golf first year. And they may be going to the NCAA regional. Okay. So if we're going to add, it's going to be so that it's been well thought out. We have infrastructure, facilities, budget, coach, all of that in place so that we can be successful right off the bat.
You mentioned when you asked about Tim Jameson, his contract, you said it was a little bit unique. Is it your policy to not let a coach go into that length up here?
I don't know that it's my policy. I just think it's unique, and I'm not blaming anybody for that circumstance. They had a great reason to do what they did. I'm sure they did. So I don't know that there's a lot of, especially in today's world, if you look at it, you know, I just don't know that there's a lot of head coaches, you know, working their last year on 1 year with 1 year left on their contract. Okay,
with the back to the South End Zone facility, I mean, is there an ideal time frame you'd like that, or what? I guess what stage is it in right now, and is there a time frame you and Coach Pinkel have talked about getting it done?
I would say that's in discussion stage, okay. And I talked to Coach Pinkel. We met this morning, and that was just a small portion of our conversation. So, I think, you know, what we have to grasp is, how does that impact our total facilities, okay? And so now you move football out of the Matsey, okay, and now they truly become separated, okay. How is we moving? Moving forward, how can we make sure that we still have engagement between football student athletes and the rest of our student athlete population? That's really important to me. That's part of the overall student athlete experience. And I bet you, if you talked to our football players, they would tell you that was really cool to be able to know our tennis players or our soccer players or our softball players, and there are certainly ways that you can still do that, but really it's much broader than just the end zone facility. It really impacts our whole operation, and how do we tackle that. So we'll begin, you know, really doing some historical research just on some other end zone facilities, what they've done, talking to some other schools. I anticipate that we're going to take probably the next month to do that, and then lay everything out on the table, get everybody around and say, okay, what's the direction, at least the first direction that we need to proceed.
Brandon Kiley with KTGR. On that south end zone complex, has there been consideration to building a new indoor complex for football specifically, if that is
Well, the route that you go?
You know, I believe, and Chad may know, and certainly Chad can correct me if I'm wrong. This will be the only time that he's able to correct me if I'm wrong. I think that's kind of where it started, was talking about indoor, you know, facility, and can we do something with an indoor and accommodate kind of the facility needs for football. And then I think it, you know, somehow moved into an end zone facility. And so there's, you know, there's a lot of consideration when you're talking about an end zone facility. Okay, is there an opportunity for some premium seating that can generate revenue? Okay, that to me would be really, really important. Okay, I'm not looking to increase the capacity of the stadium significantly. I don't think we need to do that. I really don't. Let's make sure we sell out every home game, and then we'll think about maybe adding more seats. Okay, but you know, it's one step at a time, and so those are all the different variables, I think, as we look at the facility.
Talk about getting the local community more excited about Mizzou Athletics. Do you sort of have a vision for what you'd like Mizzou Athletics' identity to be on more of a national scale, and what steps do you take?
Well, I think if you get outside of out of the state of Missouri, I think Mizzou Athletics has a great reputation in terms of its brand, and I think the SEC has helped that tremendously. I really, really do. So we've got to continue, I think, to capitalize on that, there's no better way to do that in terms of your football program being successful, men's and women's basketball being successful, your other sports programs being successful. So we'll continue to do that. And then, you know, here within the Columbia community and within the state of Missouri, just making sure we reach out to people. And, you know, do we look at a variety of, you know, do we change any price points with our tickets? You know, TV is your best friend. But it also impacts, I guess, your attendance. And so how do we make sure that people really want to come to the stadium, or they really want to come to a women's basketball game and have a great experience, that experience outweighs staying at home and watching it on TV?
That kind of big picture here, but Mike touched on this a couple weeks ago, that expressed some concern over kind of the escalating salaries you see in college sports, especially with football coaches. Do you see a tipping point? Do you see concerns, or is it just purely market-driven at this point?
You know, I think I would certainly echo Mike's concerns. You know, in my mind, I'm sitting here, I'm thinking there has to be an end game. I mean, can we really sustain this model? And, you know, I think the NCAA and our enterprise has been under attack. Particularly the last year, and that's really unfortunate in my opinion, because we as an industry are not doing a good enough job telling our story, because for every maybe student athlete that says, look, I didn't get enough to eat, or I don't have any spending money, there's a bunch of student athletes that have had an unbelievable experience. And student athletes, young people that would have no opportunity to go to college, and they've been given this great opportunity, and they've graduated, and they've changed kind of the their family and the direction of their family. And so, you know, that's something that we really have to do a better job in terms of getting our story out. And just even here with Mizzou Athletics, we've got some unbelievable stories in student athletes. But I worry about – I do. I worry about the salaries. I worry about, they're – and this is kind of a double-edged sword. There's no patience anymore. There's no patience for success, and hey, maybe I'm part of that problem. You see coaches now, you know, football coaches being fired middle of the season, two game. I mean, when, you know, that certainly is different. And so, you know, I have great patience, you know, if I really believe we've got the right person and they're doing it the right way. If we don't, then I probably have very, very little patience.
How challenging do you think it is? You know, you've got two fan bases, you know, an hour and a half, 2 hours away in terms of St. Louis and Missouri. How big of a challenge is that for attendance, and what can you do to try to draw, you know, those fans from those big, you know, great urban centers where so many of your fans are at?
You know, I don't know. I don't look at it as a challenge. I look at it as a great opportunity. I really do. You know, a lot of places just have one. Guess what? We have two. Okay, and so now, you know, we've got to do a great job of getting into the Kansas City community and St. Louis community, and you know, we need to figure out how we do that. You know, do we? And again, don't hold me to this, but you know, do we set up some type of satellite office in Kansas City in terms of reaching out there and making sure that we're really engaged? Do we do the same in St. Louis in terms of just, again, having a presence and selling tickets and all of those things? So we've got to think outside the box. We really do. But I think it's a great opportunity that you have two great cities like that we can draw from. Great question. We would certainly like to play them again. I think, you know, I think the people that really are impacted by it most are our student athletes, our coaches, and our fans. I mean, they're the biggest losers in all of this, and. You know, and I've had one discussion already with Shan. He is a great, great person, great director of athletics. But it's a lot more complicated than just saying we want to play again. They've gone on and have done their scheduling. We certainly have done the same. If we can ever play again, I don't know that it can be in the immediate future because of, you know, at least current obligations, but certainly down the road, I would love to play again. Absolutely.
Okay, we've got about 10 minutes left, just so you know.
Back here. Oh, you're awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
It was really meant for you. All right.
Your contract, is it finalized yet and just not been released, or are you still working under a term sheet, or what's the status of that?
It is not finalized. There's... Again, no issues whatsoever. It's a work in progress. The ball is in my court, okay? So I need to respond back. And just, you know, life's been a little crazy the last 2 or 3 weeks. And for whatever reason, it hasn't been maybe at the top of the priority list for me. It's probably been down at the bottom of the list, and that's just because I want to hit the ground running here, and that will take care of itself. So,
Mac, when you say that about Shane, was it to a specific sport?
No, just in general. Just in general, yeah, just in general. So.
Any more? I mean, you've got the SEC meetings coming up next month, and I guess how do you anticipate your role is going to be there? You just kind of sit back and watch, and kind of try to get into it with the other ADs, and I mean get into it like fight, get into it like, you know, get the ground running.
Oh, I'm gonna bring some boxing gloves. No, you know, I'm not one just to speak just to speak. So you know, I'll attend the meetings, and I certainly look forward to that. Look forward to see Commissioner Slive and then certainly Commissioner to be Sankey, but the rest of the athletic directors and you know, we'll do a lot of listening and certainly learning. But certainly, if I have something to say, I will. I'm not bashful, but I won't just speak just to speak.
A few years ago, they unveiled the $200 million facility master plan thing. How much are you following that, or is how much will that be adjusted based on what you think?
You know, I think it's there in the background, certainly as an awareness, and I think some of those pieces will be incorporated, but we'll, you know, things change, in, as you know that, and we'll really focus on, you know, now, present, and what we think we need to do over the next 5 years.
And is the South End Zone still at the top of the list, or is that fair to say, or
not? Yeah, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So, but we may have, you know, at the end of the day, we might have three things at the top of the list. I mean, I don't know yet. So, but, you know, we do need to, you know, enhance our facility. We've got great facilities, but there's certainly some areas that I think we can enhance.
Mac, back to baseball real quick. Mike Alden was saying that when Mizzou made the move to the SEC, the biggest adjustment across the board, you know, if you look at all the programs, was going to be in baseball as Mizzou's trying to go to the new conference. What do you think the program has to do? What are some of those things that Mizzou has to do to kind of reach that level where they're on par with other SEC programs?
Well, it's probably the best baseball conference. I mean, you know, that jump, I agree 100% with Mike, and that was a tough jump for Tim and for the program. You know, I think, you know, you look at just facility alone in terms of baseball in the SEC. I mean, some of those ballparks look like AAA, you know, ballparks. And I think that's certainly one area that we would have to address, our facility. I've got to look at, I haven't been here long enough to really look at operational budget. You know, how do we stand in terms of recruiting dollars, how we travel versus other teams, what we're paying our assistant coaches. Those are all part of the formula that I'll need to take a look at. And really sit down with coach, you know, and again, candidly, getting a better feel for the roster. You know, are we a young team, or are we, you know, we're an older team? My sense is we're pretty young team, and he's done a really good job, you know, recruiting. And so, well, how does that impact future, et cetera? So, I'm not there yet, but I'll get there in terms of all the information.
Possible disillusionment with the way the current AD position is going, and some changes in it. How do you see the way things are going between interactions with other ADs and the modern college sports, and how do you see that affecting the year?
Well, one, I'm going to tell you that I love it because I can't do anything else. So this is my job, and hopefully will be my trade for, you know, for however long when I decide to quit working. You know, it certainly has changed. I haven't been in the business as long as Mike, but I still think there's really good camaraderie amongst athletic directors. There's still people that, even though it's so highly competitive, that you can call and you can talk to and exchange ideas, and so I think that's still the very good part of the industry. You know, I think the focus on student athlete well-being, when you think about the autonomous five, that's what drove that. I think that's good. I think that's tremendous and great for our student athletes. So I think that's a really good piece. The money, the pressure to win, those are all the things that have become, you know, just really, really tough about the business. And you know, my hope is that we never ever lose focus on the student athlete, on the fact that we're developing young people, and if this industry ever gets to a point where that happens, then I will find something else to do, absolutely, because that's the cornerstone of that's what gets me excited every day, is to come in and see those young people grow and you know, leave here with a degree and be positive contributors to society.
We got time for two more.
I think the most common question most of us in this room have probably gotten from fans over the last 2 months is, what's going to be the first thing Mac Rhodes does that, like, puts his stamp on this program? Can you address the idea that of coming in here and making it your program versus coming in here and just kind of, you know, continuing what's gone on the last few years?
Yeah, you know, that's a great – I guess I don't worry about that. I don't. I mean, I'm not sitting here thinking about how can I put my stamp on the program. You know, I'm worried about, you know, how can I come in here, be a really a great leader for this program, develop a staff, a team that can help take us to the next level, and then work from there. You know, you all and our fans will define whatever that stamp is. But I'm not sitting here thinking about that at all. You know, maybe it's a facility. Maybe it's a coaching hire. Who knows? All I'm worried about is making sure that this program, it has room for growth, and that we maximize that growth. You know, we talk about, you know, why not Missouri? Why can't Missouri be the best athletics program in the country? Why can't it be? So I haven't heard a good answer yet. So we're going to work hard at doing that.
How would you characterize those conversations with Zinger? Was he open to the idea of restarting the board?
Well, you know, again, I think like I am, he's careful in terms of what, you know, what he can say. I think he's certainly again open to it down the road, and I think the time's got to be right for both institutions, and there's got to be obviously a willing spirit for it to happen, and hopefully we can continue to develop that spirit as him and I get to know each other better. But I certainly don't want to put him in a bad position or put words in his mouth, but it was a good first conversation. I hope to have a good second, third, fourth, fifth, whatever it takes.